I would ask you to turn in your Bibles to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we are going to have a look at basically at one word, but at the same time that will involve a lot of other things. And it starts out, Hebrews 11, 1, I'll read, and now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, now here we have the chapter of faith, and then I read verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now I'd like to go to verse 23. And we get there, the man Moses, the man of God. And we get to see some of his life. We read here, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. We'll read that far. And I would like you to turn back in your Bible to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 gives a little bit more insight when Stephen, he is there before the Sanhedrin, and he's given, actually he just simply gives what the scriptures give from beginning to end. He starts out with Abram and so on, but he goes on also here and he gives something on the, in relation to Moses in verse 20. And we read there, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. When he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that had his neighbor's wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me, as thou did the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begot 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai the angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? the same that God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel, which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the work of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them. And I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had a tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, and he had appointed speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. We read this far. And just thinking back in Hebrews chapter 11, where we read that Moses is his parents. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. So it was not by faith that Moses did this, because it was the parents that did it. So the faith of the parents of Moses was known in the midst of the time of the Egyptians, who persecuted, you might as well say, the Israelites, while they were under the damnation of doing the work there, every day getting into the clay and making more bricks and so on, and making the punishment heavier every day. And at the same time, so those parents, you think of that. Taking a little baby, and okay, he's 3 months old now, and making a little basket, and throwing him in the Nile. By faith. Now, faith, it's a thing, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means that faith is a sure thing. By faith you are saved through grace, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And what a wonderful thing it is to receive also the gift of faith, because I don't think that we have that of ourselves, but that we may go to God and see that God works out the things that he has planned, that everything that God has planned, he works out. And so do we agree with God, in other words? Do we say, I'm glad, Lord, you have worked everything out, and I can rest? I remember Silas Fox, one of the missionaries to India, and he was a different kind of man, I would say. Well, he'd have to be. And he said, Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. And he's the man that went to India, and when he came back, he didn't have a ticket like we usually get a ticket before we go anywhere. And so that you know for sure you get on the plane or the boat or whatever. In those times it was the boat. And he didn't have that. He went to the boat, but he didn't have anything to buy a ticket with. And he sat there by the boat, and he trusted God that God would give him the ticket or to go with the boat. And he did. And then he only got halfway, he only got to England, and there he had to wait until God gave him again the ticket to go the rest of the way to Canada. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to simply trust God. What's the man's name in Jackson? He had a lump on his back, or whatever you call them, and he was in South America. And
when you first went there.
No, this one.
You mean him?
Yeah, but it was in the time when Luke was there, so I'm not sure. But I think he probably was there. But anyway, it doesn't matter. He was in South America. And he didn't, he was single.
Jake Taves, yes.
Yeah. And he was there and he was telling us how he went in. And so there was a group of them, different missionaries ready to go into the jungle. He'd be going there with a couple others likely. But he didn't have anything. He didn't have no money, so he couldn't buy no food, and others were buying flour and sugar, whatever you buy, and he didn't. So he just sat there, and he just waited until the Lord brought to him whatever he was going to need. And, you know, it's so simple. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's going to do the same thing. That's not the idea. But God has a place of faith for each one of us. And in how far, I was thinking about Moses, and first about his parents, that, okay, they made a basket, put him in the river, and you got to do that by faith, because you're not going to feed your little one to the crocodiles, I'm sure. But they put him there by faith. If you have a little one, and you put that in this little boat, as it were, well taken care of, at that time, and that's something. And you see, when you look back at this, what a plan of God. Now, we are in the Western world, we are so busy that we go way past the plan of God, because you wouldn't have time to wait 40 years for Moses. Well, finally, because he got into the palace and he was there 40 years. As far as we know, he might have been, some of the history reveals apparently that he was the general of the army and stuff like that, which I believe very likely. But then after 40 years, he said, that's enough of it. I'm going to see my folks. And there he goes. He goes to visit. He's already planning, because he didn't want to be an Egyptian. That was clear. He left that, as it were, at least in his heart. I don't want to be an Egyptian. Now, we are here. We're worldlings. I left the world. Take the world and give me Jesus. So we've left the world. And he left Egypt in that sense. And he went to look at his folks. Now, they didn't receive him. They didn't realize that God indeed wanted to deliver them through his hands. But the people weren't ready, and he wasn't ready. And it's an amazing thing how God has, at his time, has everything together at the right time. But we aren't ready, and the people aren't ready, and, you know, you try to get them ready. And I don't know how you get them ready, but that seems to be like an awful job to get anybody ready. I know we've been in the place now for 26 years or better, and, you know, I haven't gotten anybody ready. I would like to get a few people ready, but they simply don't want to get ready. And so, but at God's time, I'm sure they'll all be ready. So I see Moses here. But then comes the other thing. 40 years, actually, you don't read anything much about that. He was there with his father-in-law. As he left Egypt, he had to run away because they were going to kill him. A Pharaoh was made, and he didn't have much patience, I guess, because if that was the son, of at least the daughter had accepted him as a son, and he didn't accept that, I guess, and so he was going to kill him. And so the only thing he could do was run away. And then he's there in Ethiopia. Hey, what are you going to do in Ethiopia? Well, I'm going to look after some sheep. Now, let's think for a moment again about the sheep. Here he worked with those four-footers, four-legged ones, And he was a shepherd, and he took his time, and he had, I think he had a great time there with the sheep. And to leave those sheep for the other sheep, well, you don't want to think about that too quick. So he was there with the sheep. And well, let's just turn back to Exodus and see what we read there, because it's the best to read. And it's so, I find this, the scriptures, every time you read, it gets better and better. And just by reading, sometimes something gets very clear. And so here, don't forget, we're talking about faith, just simply faith. Now, what do you do by faith? Well, you know, does God speak to us through his word, and we accept that by faith? Because all the things that we read, we accept them. But do we accept them by faith? Maybe we accept them by knowledge. Maybe we accept them as the way they are. I can well remember years before I got saved, somebody gave a little argument one day about the scriptures. There was no way I would go along with the argument because I believed the scriptures. But it wasn't by faith. When I believed them by faith, it was an entirely different story. I had a new life. And it was it was not only the scripture, but the person of the scriptures. The person of the Lord Jesus becomes evident then. And if you read this, then you see that I'm here in Exodus chapter 2. And where he... Now, well, that's where he killed the Egyptian. So we leave that part a little bit. That he will go to chapter 3. And now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now you imagine what he comes thus from out of the palace. You might as well say the son or whatever, the grandson actually from Pharaoh, as he was taken in. And now he is here in the desert. That's quite a different story. And so here he is. And he's gotten a wife from this man, from Jethro. And he's now taking care of the sheep. Taking care of the sheep. How long have you been doing this, Moses? Oh, just about 40 years. How long do you think you're going to do it yet? Oh, well, maybe another 40 years. Yes, the Lord could tell him, yes, but there'll be different sheep. There'll be different sheep. You know, well, now, Lord, I'm used to these sheep. I really, did you ever get that? You're used to something, and then you don't want to change. There's people that are stuck in their place. They don't want to change. That, you know, that really frustrates to make a change. Now, we've had to make many changes in our lives, so we know a little bit and understand at the same time the difficulty of making a change. Anyway, we'll read here. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock of the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. That would get your attention, wouldn't it? All of a sudden, there you go, you're in the woods there, Murphy, and there the bush is burned, and nothing. Hey, I'm used to wood burning, but I'm not used to it not being burned up. So this is really, it's amazing how God attracts our attention. And I think the first thing God wants to do is attract our attention. And hey, I'm here. You're still with those sheep, but then we'll do something different today. We'll have a little fire, and we'll make a little fire and get a little fire going. You know, it's, well, remember that song, Get a Little Fire Going? How's that go? Oh, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. But don't get me going on that one. So, but here he was, and it's... There are things that go on, And God has it in his hand, and it's not consumed, it goes on. You know, in your life, is the Spirit of God working? It doesn't consume your life, but it causes you to go on. Moment by moment, each day, and it gets you go further and further with him. And so Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned. It's interesting, you know, there's not a thing in this wide world that God cannot do. what a great thing it is to have a God who's got everything in his hand. There's nothing goes beyond him, and there's nothing too great for him, nothing too small for him. He's so, you know, I just think for a moment, those little ants. We had a few there visiting us, eh? And a few little ants. And those little ants. And God sees the ant. And they don't need no overseer. They all work together. Not like people. They're ants. And they can carry about 5 times their own weight or something like that. Unbelievable. Now, okay, you see, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. You just think you stand somewhere and you hear your name being called and there's nobody around, actually. What an experience would that be, eh? Now, we're not all... Somewhere along the line, God is personally working with each one. He's personally talking to each one. He wants to personally guide each one and show each one, this is the way to walk therein. And so he said, here am I. And at least he was wise there, but he didn't agree with God. Do you agree with God? Everything that God wants you to do? Well, anyway, he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Certainly when you're talking to God, you're on holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. At least he was wise there. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. God is, he knows what people go through. He knows the troubles in this world. He knows the pain that we can have in relation to the things that we contend with and hear those people. But why, you might ask, why does God let this go on? Well, we would have to go a little ahead now. And say, why? Because if you look further in the scriptures and you see how this folk, after a while, they are delivered from Egypt and they go across the Red Sea and they go, what do you see? They still don't believe God. They don't believe God. They have done everything what God says in the coming verses, in the coming chapters, but they really don't go by faith. It's not trusting the Lord. I don't know how many times you meet that up in the Christian world, that people, they have apparently been saved, and they even come to church, and they even proclaim, and after a while, there's a growing cold, and there's a turning away. It's hard to believe. Sometimes I really grinch at the things that you see therein. I think somebody comes and he asks me, come and do Bible study and with more people. And after a while, there's more people there and the people come. He leaves. Strange, isn't it? Strange how God sees ahead of time, of course, what's all going on. And so here he's got that also. So the Lord said, I've seen the affliction of my people. Notice what he says. My people. They're still my people. So wouldn't he take care of his people? My people, which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land and a large, and to a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, if you don't get excited now, you never will. Huh? What a promise! What a promise of God! And is it any less to the Christian that God promises? No, I think we, when we get into the Word of God, it's no more than and no less than a land of promises, a flowing of milk and honey out of the Scriptures. And richness unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Ah, now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. And now I think, you know, if you have a heart, your heart start going a beat faster, because why is God telling you all this? Why is God telling Moses this all? Well, that comes now. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Oh, just a minute, Lord. We're not going that far. I think it's great what you're doing, but, you know, just don't get me involved. You know, don't get... I need a change, but not quite that much. You know, just thinking of... I'm satisfied here with those sheep that I got here. Those sheep, they really satisfy me to just take care of them, you know. They macker a little bit, but that's all right. But they won't macker as much as the sheep that I'm going to get out of Egypt, you know. That's for sure. So you see now, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. What an unmeasurable work that must be when you look at that just like that and see, oh God, who is sufficient for these things? You know, that I should bring these people out of their bondage and out of their slavery and set them free, because that's the idea, you know, they got to be free. And I think that of a lot of people around our area, there's, you know, they are all good people that are going to church people and stuff like that. But to set them free, do they need the freedom of the Lord Jesus. Come now therefore, and I will send thee. Are you ready to go? Because this is... well, anyway, Moses said unto God, who am I? Well... Here's Moses a little bit out of kilter. It is not who am I, who is God. You know, you don't have to worry about who you are. You have to think about who God is. You know, as soon as we start worrying about ourselves, then we're on the wrong path. Worry is a sin, and I think there's too much done of that. So, who am I? That I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God might just as well say to him, yeah, but just a minute, Moses, it's not who are you, it is who am I? And what do I think of God? Am I concerned about myself, or am I concerned about who God is? That's quite a little different, eh? In me, Scripture says, there's no good thing, so I don't have to worry about that one, that's already settled. And so the Lord can only give an answer in that one. And so he said, certainly I will be with thee. Now, that's the promise we get from God. I will be with thee to the end of the world. Now, we're not at the end of the world yet, but I'm not sure what the end of the world is. What would be the end of the world? Would it be PNG? Or would it be South America? Or anyway... I guess we don't have to answer that one today. But certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. And when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Can you get any more assurance than that? Just as sure as you're sitting here, this is what God said, and this is what he wants. As simple as 2 and 2 is 4. You know, In 2 Corinthians 11, he says, don't go away from the simplicity that is in Christ. I think too often we try to be real smart and go away from the simplicity, but that was a problem in Genesis chapter 3, and we don't want to repeat that at all. But here he says, so ye shall serve God upon this mountain. What a promise that God gives, that he will give you that life, and you're going to live that. You're going to be blessed because you're going to follow what he says, and you're going to trust the living God, the Savior of all men. Now, is there anything greater than that? And then a person starts thinking. Do you ever think, well, I would like to see this, or I would like to see that. You know, there should something, I believe, do you think that we should have a revival? I think we should have a revival. Sunday morning I heard the preacher there saying, yeah, we should have revival. And I agree with him. I couldn't agree more. But you know something? I failed to be able to bring the revival. I wish I knew how I would certainly do almost anything to bring a revival. But why wasn't God in a hurry here? Why did he wait that long? He's already left those people a long time there in Egypt. And now he's waiting with Moses already 40 years, 40 years to begin with, when he was almost drowned there, and he was in his little basket there. So that's 40 years. And then he got another 40 years in the wilderness. So already 80 years since Moses was born. It doesn't seem like God's ever in a hurry. Well, you know, he never is in a hurry. But we are. We want things today. You know, today you can order something and it'll be here yesterday. Oh, no, you can't do that. But almost. We order it today and we want it in Holland. There's a lot of it. You order it before a certain time in that day, it'll be there before midnight. Yeah. Well, that's the modern version. But that's not the way the Lord works. The Lord, he takes time. It's interesting when you think of that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. And when I think of that, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, how long was he there? Well, someone says 6 hours. Yeah? 6 hours to you or 6 hours to him? That's another question, isn't it? I believe those 6 hours. You think he was there and he took the sin of the whole world upon him? Of everybody that lived, ever going to live in that time? Can I then set a time for him? No. I can read in the scriptures that there was 6 hours from this time to that time. That's another story. But was that his time? I think it might have been a lot longer. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's not just a loose statement. That shows a tremendous carrying of a burden of sin. And anyway, we're going back here. So Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And you see that Moses just simply given an argument here. He's telling God, what am I going to say? Well, you know who he is. That's no problem, is it? Supposing you talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus. Well, who's he? Well, he's the Son of God. You have trouble telling people who he is? Well, no, not really. But you see, if you really don't want to give the truth, you know, not too sharp. You want to, you like, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Two edges, got two edges on both sides, sharp. And there's no sharper sword than that. But, you know, a lot of people, they start winding some winsels around it, you know, some cloth around it and stuff like that, so it's not so sharp. Well, that doesn't make a sword. Then you can't... do you ever like sword fighting, you know, those guys who stand there? Now, I'm not a sword fighter, but I like this sword. But if I see what it does, how it pierces to the heart and goes right through your soul and mind and shows you what you are. So, how is it possible that a book, you just read a few sentences and that goes right through you? And it makes you live. Well, because it's painful. I know it's painful because it goes in there and it's sharp and it cuts out those things that shouldn't be in there. And I don't like going to doctors or hospitals and they come with a knife and they start sickening. I know you're in the nursing business and my wife was there too. And they come with this. Oh, that won't hurt you. And you know, just take tension. I'm no hero, I'll tell you that right now. When it comes with knives in my back and stuff like that, eh? My wife, I'll have a little something on my back there, one of those green ones, you know, and then she likes to get that really all cleaned out. Painful, utterly painful. And those nurses, they just sit there laughing, at you know, they say, oh, those poor patients, you know, they don't know what it is. And I have a little sympathy for them in the fact that all those patients are, the most of them are wimps. But you must have already found that out, eh? So, but what is his name? What is his name? That's an interesting question, isn't it? What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Those people all are going to ask me, what is his name? It's interesting, when we're in the Netherlands, there's different religions, same as you have in Canada, but they're of a different texture. And you have, it's interesting that this group doesn't believe what this group believes, if you set them together. There's another group that doesn't believe this either, and they believe something different again. They all say they believe the Bible. I come and give a message where they're all together for a certain reason, for instance, a funeral or a wedding or something like that, and you preach a message. Oh, it's all in there. Yeah, it's all in there. Jesus Christ died for the sins of God. Yeah. They want three things. They want the first point is misery. The second point is redemption, and the third point is thankfulness. Well, that should be in any message, you know, because you're lost, and there's a forgiveness. There is a new life. There is the Lord Jesus, and then when you sing that, when you say, praise the Lord, you know, praise the Lord. What else should you do? There's nothing that you can, you can't just fill that in. If it's not filling the blanks. It's just something that comes out because there's something living there, you know. There's a whole new life. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is there. And, hey, that's strange, you know. And I don't know how many of those religions, I guess we would believe that too. Careful, you know, they don't give themselves away, you know. What is his name? What shall I say to him? Well, the Lord Jesus, he's our Savior. He's our Deliverer. He's the one that took our sin upon him. It's so simple. And he is the only one that can deliver you. So, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said, thou shalt say unto them, the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said, moreover unto Moses, how much does it take to convince someone that this is the work of God? This is not just the work of man. Moses doesn't have to go on his own. Just supposing, this is an altogether supposed story. Just supposing I was going to preach somewhere before I got saved. Would that do anything? No. No, because I really don't know what I'm talking about. I may have some head knowledge, although I didn't have that. But that doesn't work. What is necessary? For by grace are you saved through faith in that not of yourselves. Not of yourselves. Oh, it is the gift of God, not of man, that anyone should boast. Oh, but people love to boast. See how many came forward in our meeting? Oh, you want to hear it. You know, there's a lot of boasting. I've seen a lot of boasting over the years. But I also seen that the boasting didn't last. The boasting didn't last. Life, everlasting, that lasts. But boasting doesn't last. So I'm a little bit with Moses here, you know. You want to make sure that when you're going, it's not always simple, but at the same time, when you... Well, we shared that a little bit with you the last winter. Hey, we are 26, what is it, 26 years now in the Netherlands. How long are we going to be there yet? I wish you could tell me. But nobody can tell me, and the Lord hasn't told me either. And actually the thought came to me, this may well be the last year there. And I don't know what people's done, but they I think people start praying, and at least I hold them guilty. And he says, no, you're staying here a little bit longer. But he doesn't give any time. He doesn't say, now this is... No, it's day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, and strength I find to, by faith, to do what he wants me to do. And it's only one moment at a time. It's not days and weeks and years ahead. God, I heard somebody the other day, and they said, you know, we're going to do this year, and then that'll last for so long, and then we're going to do that. You heard that too. Is I was a little leery, a little shocked, maybe. I know the world talks that way. We're going to do it. You know, they meant as well, but I think that we better make sure that we know what the Lord wants and not what I want, because I need my water fixed then. And here he is. I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto them, children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, see, he didn't say my fathers, but your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go. Now, here's the word, go. Very small word, G-O. Very small word. But it's got a tremendous impact. Go. That means I'm ready, here am I, where do you want me to go? Well, I've already told you to go to Egypt, and there you go. A very simple word. Go ye therefore and tell all nations, go. And gather elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to the voice, and thou shalt come, thou the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall unto him say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now let us go, beseech we, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you. No, that's strange. He's not going to send them to Egypt, and they said, he's not going to let you go. You would think he'd let you go then, eh? He will not let you go. No, not by my hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. It shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow her neighbor and of her that sojourners in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. And Moses said, very good, I'll go. Wouldn't you think? What would you say? Because we can say here, choke down Moses. Oh, Moses, oh man, Moses. What would you say? Just like that, boom, this is the way, and this is what we're going to do. Oh, what a man, Moses. Moses, the man of God. You know, in the last chapter of Deuteronomy, he's called the greatest prophet. The greatest prophet, Moses. And here, Moses answers, but behold, they will not believe me. Well, don't have to believe you, they have to believe God. You know, it's amazing how mixed up we can be, eh? They will not believe me. Well, that's not the problem. We believe God. Do you believe God or do you believe yourself? That's the question, really, isn't it? He said, they will not believe me. Well, that's not the point. So they'll say, the Lord has not appeared unto you. Well, that's no problem at all. God has said it. The Lord said, what is in thy hand? And then God takes the staff and sew it down. What would you do? I don't know, I make fun. In other words, I would run away. I must honestly confess, I hate snakes. Oh, I hate snakes. Oh, I had just disgusting to see a snake. If I have a stick in my hand, he's sure is going to die because I don't want snakes. Now, maybe you love snakes. I don't. I have a little bit to do with it. But the Lord said, what's in my hand? He said, a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. And it cast on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before. He fled from his own stick. The thing that would hold him up. The thing that he was going to take to Pharaoh. And he ran away from that one, see? And it's amazing how we run away from the things that would hold us up. That we run away from the things that would direct our path. From the God that says, go, and I will be with you until the end of the world. But, oh, could that ever be true? What a word that we get now. By faith, his parents kept him. They didn't drown him. They put him in the basket. And he lived 40 years later by faith. That's his parents. It started with his parents. They were by faith. And then Moses, by faith. He left Egypt by faith. It wasn't just that he left Egypt. He left it by faith. It gives a very clear statement there. So, and now you've got to go. You know, if you set in... I'm not saying that it was exactly an easy seat, but I think taking care of sheep, if you pay a little attention over 40 years, then that's not too bad a job. I'm not sure whether they use the dogs too, but they usually circle around the sheep. One thing I like about the shepherd, and he pays all his attention to the sheep. So... is it that this shepherd, Moses was a shepherd, is it that he learned to take all his attention on the sheep? the Lord, our shepherd, he has all our attention, all his attention is on the sheep, so that our attention would be onto him. And Moses had that more than any man. He had that attention for the sheep. 40 years of training. 40 years. That's a long period. 40 years doing nothing else than looking after sheep, and then in the desert. And that's a training. That's a deep training. That's a deep resting, a stillness, a quietness. And that's all. I'm sure that Moses had some times with the Lord in his quietness, in his resting. The Lord doesn't give as much on that, but he was ready to go see what happened here. I'm sure that Moses had some contact with the Lord previous in that sense, but not in the sense where he was called. And in his calling, he met up with some problems. And at the same time, God had already prepared, and he had also gotten Moses ready. He knew how Moses was going to react. And at the same time, he went on with Moses. And it's interesting to see that if God works in your life, he's not going to stop. He's going to continue. And he may have to change something. If you've been at it 40 years, well, maybe there's going to be a shift. And he's going to have your attention in a bit different direction, as it were. But the direction is always towards him. There's an upbuilding and a getting ready, because there's others around you that are going to need you. And he's going to trust in God gives you that trust. God gives you that freedom also to help others in relation to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, here he is. Here he is now, getting ready. It's amazing that after 40 years of getting ready, you also get a little bit in a settled position. And when that settled position is, well, I don't know whether I want to move or not. You know, we get settled somewhere, and then we don't want to move. Or we have been settled in the way we have done things, and then we can't do them another way. There's so many things in which we get settled. We have been 40 years looking at the sheep. Maybe staring at the sheep. And then God says, okay, we're going in another direction. We're going to start now. We're going to see, what are you doing, Moses? So God and Moses are getting into it here. It's really nice to see that, who God and Moses get into it, and how they are, how God seeks to lead Moses in the direction, because he's not there yet. He's not in Egypt yet. There's a long ways to go yet before he gets there. Moses has to come, has to go home, take his wife, take the boys, and then they get halfway, and one of the boys is not, he hasn't been, what do you call the kid?
Circumcised.
He hasn't been circumcised. And his wife is not too pleased with that, you know. And I understand that mothers are a little bit more, you know, with the children than fathers are, so I can understand that. But at the same time, the mother had to perform the surgery, as it were, and a painful situation. And Moses lay there almost for dead. He just... It looked like God was going to kill him. There are things that look like it, but God, through it all, has a plan. God, through it all, in all the things that you meet up with, just remember one thing, God has a plan, he's going to follow the plan, and now the best thing is for you and I to follow the plan of God and not our own plan, because we have our own plans. Don't kid yourself. Whatever your thoughts are, whichever way they direct, we have our own ideas, we have our own plans, but God has a plan. God has a plan. Take the plan of God, because it's more important than your own plan, whatever that plan may be. And here Moses was not planning to take God's plan in a hurry. And so he gets this snake running away and so on. And then again, God says, put your hand in your bosom, and he showed him what happened. And it says in verse 8 there, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. It shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Now, so we're coming now to the different miracles, or the plagues, as it were, that come into Israel, of into Egypt, sorry. And it's amazing the things that God goes through and how they apply to our lives, how we can learn from it, that God, in patience, and we through troubles and trials, come to the place where God wants us, through troubles and trials. We like a smooth way. And this is one thing I certainly have a real problem with, that today in a lot of places they try to make a smooth way. See, if you do this, you're going to be rich. And if you do this, you don't have any problems. If you do this, well, if I don't have any problems, there's a problem. That's as simple as that. Because man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. And if there's anybody full of trouble, I'm full of trouble. But the Lord Jesus has come to settle those troubles too. I can trust in him, but I can't trust in myself. And that's one of the things we see here, you know, that don't trust in yourself. Don't see what happened. This may we call him the mighty man of God, Moses, the greatest prophet that ever lived. And at the same time, did he have his troubles? Yes, he had his struggles. He sat there 40 years in the wilderness, and he was getting used to what he was doing. I think we can easily get used to what we're doing. Sometimes I sit there in the Netherlands, and I'm getting kind of, am I getting used to what I'm doing? Ooh, then I'll have to see. God, there's got to be a different way. There's got to be a way that's alive. That's alive. And that's living in that. We can see that others live. And, you know, they're all dying around me. They're all dying around me. They're all without the Lord. They're religious but lost. And oh, God will give the opening to see. And God says, at my time, Cole, at my time. How do you think about the Lord's timing in your life? The Lord's timing. Not your timing, but the Lord's timing. It's entirely different, isn't it? I would like to have this then, I would like that then, and so on. But it's the Lord's timing. Oh, that's different, isn't it? My time or God's time? Whose time is right? Well, I guess I don't have to say anything about that one. Huh? Whose time is right? Whose timing is right? Well, I don't have to say anything about that either. Because his timing is right, and his time is always right. And God has every moment, if you see that, you know the story of Moses and the children of Israel and the happenings in Egypt. Lord willing, we'll have another Wednesday night yet, and maybe we'll look a little further if the Lord willing. That's all depends on him, not on me. But it's a wonderful thing to just simply trust the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. You know, that is what folks look to. Maybe your neighbor, maybe the one that you meet up with, wherever and however, you know, they're watching. How are you making out when it's a little difficult? How are you making out when there's a trial? How are you making out when there's a problem? How are you making out when it pains? Oh, I'll tell you. You see it on every side, you know. You see, this person has problems. Yeah? But how is he handling the problems? What's he doing in the midst of the problems? What are you and I doing in the midst of problems? You know, we get a problem. Right? You get a little nervous. Yeah, you know, sometimes I get a little nervous, you know. Maybe, we'll have to fly again, you know, after a while. And plane be on time? And would we meet the other plane in time? would we make it? And would the seats be all right? Now, you can make the list as long as you will, as you want, and you can make the list in your life as long as you want, with all the problems that could be there, you know. And then to know that you have a God that's got it all in His hand. Lord, do you have everything in your hand? I don't have anything in my hand. I'm just a little dumb boy. I got nothing in my hand. But thou art God, and there's none else. Father, we can only thank thee for such a wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that has brought us unto God. Thank thee for bringing us unto God. We pray, Lord, thy blessing upon each heart here this evening, in Jesus' name, amen.